Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and you are listening to Lilydale Radio. There are two different ways to join in on my show. You can look at my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium, and it gets posted there live each week at 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings, and also on the blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio site. And this is one of four radio shows that Lilydale does. On Tuesday evenings, we have Colleen Vanderzijden. Wednesday mornings, we have me. Wednesday evenings with John White. And Thursday mornings are with Celeste Elliott. So lots of great things to learn and to have Lilydale come right into your home each and every week. So with this show, it's a spiritual conversation that I have with my special guest. And I have a different topic every week, and it's a lot of fun to have you join in. I know a lot of you people post in Facebook. You can like and share and comment there. You can also call into the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio site, and we can do a call-in that way. I'll give you the call-in number a little bit later. Our topic today is spiritual natural law in the development of mediumship. So great topic, and I have as my special guest today, John White.
Thank you. Good morning, America. How are you?
And for those of you who don't know who John White is, he is my father. No, I'm teasing.
In another life.
He's kind of like my surrogate father. People keep assigning us as father-daughter frequently in the Lilydale. And it's so funny because I have had my mother, Bonnie White, who is a registered medium here on the show, and also my real father, Bill White, on the show as well. And it's really great to have John here now.
How come there's so many Whites here?
I don't know. It's kind of like Smith or Johnson. It just sort of happens.
I know. One time I tried to find my name in the phone book, and there were so many I couldn't find me.
Yes. And there are probably other John Whites in the world.
Oh, lots.
But you're just extra special.
Well, thank you. Anybody who lives at Lilydale is special.
And it's something that you've been involved with for many, many years now. How many years have you been a registered medium in Lilydale?
Oh, I think it's about 33 years or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm actually a Canadian, and I worked down here on a green card. It was the Church of the Living Spirit that got several mediums our registrations here.
Yes.
And, I'm a happy Canadian with an American green card. Very
yes.
happy about that. But really, it's an honor to be here at Lilydale and to, you know, that this is the largest spiritualist community in the world. And I've seen it really develop over the many, many different years and really turn into also an educational place. So I'm really very happy to be here.
Yes, yes.
Aren't you happy to be here?
I am happy
yes.
to be here. I'm sure most people know that.
Yeah.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah.
And so when people say, is John White your father? I'll say, no, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian, eh?
And that usually fixes everything.
Just say Canadian, eh?
He's a Canadian, eh? And it's funny, growing up, sometimes people would ask me if I was Canadian because of the way I talk. But
where are your roots?
Here. I grew up in Chautauqua County here.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's kind of funny. I don't know how that happened, but maybe I have a Canadian aspect to me. I don't know.
Well, the border is only about an hour from here.
Exactly, exactly. So we have that influence, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Well, John White has been a spiritual teacher for many, many years. And as I mentioned earlier, he does have a Lilydale radio show, and you can tune in to that show on Wednesday evening. So we share the same last name and the same day of the week.
Yes, we got the best day.
We did. We got the best day. I chose this because of my children's needs. But, you're at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock at night. Most people are awake by then.
Yes, most people are awake by then. And yours is called Journeys.
Journeys of the Light.
Of the Light.
Journeys of the Light. Because, you know, we're all searching for that light.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our topic today, spiritual natural law in the development of mediumship. So,
okay, there are three basic natural laws, okay?
Yes.
And the first one is called mentalism. Now, let me explain that. There's a saying that there's no such thing as your mind and my mind and God's mind. There's only one mind, and we all live and move and have our being in it. So we're all part of the same mind, okay? And then the other natural law is energy, okay? And here's one of Einstein's sayings. It's all energy, that's all there is to it. Create the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but to create that reality. This is not philosophy, it's physics, okay? Then the other natural law is communication, and this is where mediumship comes in.
Yeah.
So we're all part of the same mind, and so we can communicate with people in the spirit world, remote viewing. We can communicate with people like Edgar Cayce did with the health readings, with people that are physically living, and that's a little bit more psychic.
Yeah.
But we're all part of the same mind. And Einstein said this one day. He said, "I want to know how God thinks." Now, only Einstein can get away with saying something as arrogant as that.
I think many people have had the same thought throughout the years.
Yeah, but God thinks through natural law.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a saying, whoever therefore shall live, move, and have their being in natural law, basically will experience the God within them and how God communicates. You know, there was a little book not that long ago called The Secret.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about natural law. Wanted to get that natural law. What was it called?
The law of attraction.
The law of attraction. Okay. So like attracts like.
Yes.
Right? And so that has to do with vibration. So, for instance, there are some people believe that healing is a frequency. Okay. Disease is a frequency. Every thought in your head is a frequency. Prosperity thinking is a frequency. Okay, so everything is a frequency. So that's why when Einstein said it's all energy, that's all there is to it. So what we're trying to do is that we're trying to get into that frequency, that energy, to attract those things in our life. Yeah,
absolutely. And
and
something that as spiritualist mediums that we frequently are talking about with clients and in the lectures that occur here at Lilydale, and it's the focus of some of the workshops here. At least it gets sprinkled in as part of the philosophy, but it's in effect in other religions as well, and it's something that other religions do talk about, but spiritualism seems to talk about it a bit more and try to apply it very consciously as part of our principles.
Well, I believe that spiritualism has been going on since the beginning of time. We just call it spiritualism. But all the Bibles were written by prophets who communicated with angels.
Yeah.
Okay, all the Bibles in the world were written by people who use this part of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here at Lilydale in Spiritualists, we actually teach you to become what is known as intuitively literate.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm just full of Einstein things. So here's one
he
of Einstein's.
Is.
Here's one of Einstein's things. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational brain is a faithful servant. We have created a society where we honor the servant and forgotten the gift. So in the Bible, it's called the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
And one of the gifts of the Spirit is the ability to discern the Spirit, and that's mediumship, being able to tune into the vibration of the Spirit or the angel and to be able to sense what their intentions are and what they're all about. Okay, and that's called mediumship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've participated in John's classes before, so I have heard this before, and I love hearing it again and over again in his lectures. And he's got a very solid grounding in these concepts. So that's why it's so great to have you here today.
Thank you. God thinks through natural law.
Yeah.
Okay. Like one of the natural laws is called discipline. Learning how to harness your energy.
You know,
some people come to us here at Lilydale and say, "Well, I want to become a medium." Okay, so one of the major questions I ask them, Do you know of any spiritual master teachers who never meditated? And of course, they say, I don't think so, right? It's like me asking them, do you know somebody who's very academically intelligent and never opened up a book? So we're talking intuitive literacy and academic literacy,
mm-hmm.
okay? So meditation is the foundation of the gifts of the spirit. Now, you can be a medium and have mediumship experiences and psychic experiences without meditating, but if you learn how to harness that energy, then basically it'll flow more. I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
When did you discover your mediumship? Was it through...
I saw spirit when I was a little girl.
Okay, how old were you?
I want to say I think it was 5 when I started giving messages.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know. Young friend that passed, and so we were able to connect pass along messages.
Now, you didn't meditate or anything like that. You just...
Well, I've been exposed to that, to those concepts, but my parents never put me through my paces. You know, my mother was always attending different mediumship circles and things like that. So as children, we would run off and play, and then we'd come in, and because of the way that mother's group was, that was acceptable to kind of interrupt, I guess you could say, their meditation, because I think that they got really good at meditating and holding focus because they had so many children interruptions.
Okay.
So I saw how to do this, but I never had to do it myself. But I would wake up in the morning and I would just start to go into a meditation, and then I would have spirit communication occur.
Beautiful. You know, I think also what happened is since your parents meditated, they actually built up a frequency.
Sure.
It's one of the natural, they built up a frequency.
Yeah.
And you were exposed to that that beautiful frequency. That's amazing.
But it's not like they said, this is how we sit and do it.
Right.
I think people, you know, many people need that. But because of how I grew up, it was a lot easier to develop in those ways.
Well, you must have had a really good imagination, right?
Oh, yeah.
But here's Einstein's saying again. Okay. Imagination is more powerful than knowledge.
I agree.
So you have to be able to use your imagination, because that's where your intuitive genius is hidden.
Absolutely. This is one of my sayings.
Okay.
Intuition uses imagination. So they live in the same house. Intuition and imagination live in the same house.
Right.
And intuition uses imagination to convey information.
That's right.
And so that's how that occurs. And a person who has a well-developed imagination, it's easy for them to access
that
myriad of experiences and the interplay between spirit.
And that's why, you know, some people who are, and thank God we all have a left brain, which is the rational brain.
Oh, I agree, we do need left brain. It helps to put words to what we're experiencing.
Yeah. But some people are so left-brained that they're actually... don't trust their imagination, so they never allow themselves.
But
to,
they can
to
cultivate
go.
It because I've had aspects of times and phases in my life where I've been extremely left brain.
Yeah.
Because you know, going through school, that's what you have to really do.
Yeah.
In order to do that, but you can revert back, and you can start to balance between the two more and more. And meditation does assist in that.
Of course it does. Of course it does. You know. In quantum physics, 1 and 1 isn't 2, it's 3. And so when you develop your intuitive brain and your academic brain, then the third element, like the third element comes together.
Yes.
You know, so that's beautiful. But you know, children up to the age of about 3.5 or 4 years old live in the right side of their brain.
Mostly, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's why it says in the Bible, in order for you to enter the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to be open and believe like a child.
There's a childlike wonder and awe bring to your life and to bring to the sacred experience of spirit communication. And I know from being in classes and hearing you lecture before that you came to meditation because of the Beatles.
Yes, I did.
I love that story.
Yes, so does my mother. I was playing rock and roll music, and the Beatles went off to India to learn how to meditate. So I thought it was a good idea. But after just 3 days of doing this transcendental meditation, it was mantra meditation, you focus the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if you take away all the religious connotations about meditation, it is concentration. So
mind focus and concentration techniques.
Meditation is super concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I started to have very blissful experiences. And I was lucky to meet people from in Montreal and from around the world that there's extremely a lot of education. So I feel this is my destiny. What is your interpretation of destiny?
I do feel that we have aspects of that some things are preset, but it's not about what happens to us, it's how we react to it. So there's very much a free will aspect to how we live our lives.
Okay.
And that's one of the laws, the law of free will.
That's right.
The law of creative reality. So we are creating our reality in many ways. So
so
destiny has a part of it, but many times it's just showing tendencies or patterns, and that we have the law of free will, the law of creative reality, those things that take hold in our life. And, of course, personal responsibility.
That's another natural law.
That shape our lives.
You know, we have the saying in spiritualism that we make our own happiness or unhappiness
as
we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws.
Yes, indeedy.
Okay. Yes. So I learned how to meditate many, many years ago, but I believe, this is just my belief system, I do believe that I was a Tibetan monk in a past lifetime, okay? And so accidentally on purpose, the Dalai Lama...
This is one of John's sayings, too, accidentally
on purpose. The Dalai Lama came to Montreal, Canada, his second visit to America, and he talked about meditation and how to teach the lamas in Tibet how to soul travel, okay? And even though, of course, I'm a spiritualist, but, you know, we're free thinkers. And so I go to all the different churches because I recognize that all the different churches were started by prophets who used this part of their mind, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I'm very much involved in something called mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Mindfulness. And that's really Buddhism. And that's actually become very popular.
Yeah, it's a real trendy term these days.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter wrote a paper on mindfulness.
Nice.
Yeah. Let me tell you a beautiful synchronicity story about that, okay?
Okay. And then law of synchronicity.
Is it a law of synchronicity? Okay. So my daughter wrote a paper on mindfulness, and she was, I think there's a school in Pennsylvania, it's called Edinburgh.
Yes, Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, okay. Yes. So she applied to get a job there so she can help to pay for her education. So she ended up in the wrong office when she applied. She ended up in the vice president's office.
Well,
and after a little while, she figured out that she was in the wrong office. And then, I don't know, they started to talk. And he just broke into the subject of, oh, I just got $500,000 from the American government to write a paper on mindfulness. She just happened to have her thesis in her back pocket. She was hired. Accidentally on purpose.
I love it.
Yeah. So, like attracts like.
It does.
Yeah, so that's one of the natural laws that you create this frequency and you attract other people in your life to help you to work on those frequencies.
You know, the law of resonance.
Yes.
And that's one of my father, Bill White, one of the shows I've done with him is the law of resonance. We talked about music, but there's also the law of resonance, and that's the reason or the underpinnings of why the law of attraction works.
That's right.
And so when you resonate a particular vibrational frequency, that's what you attract.
That's what you attract.
Yeah.
That's what you attract. Yes, it's beautiful.
That's a great story.
It is. And for those people who are very much interested in their spiritual development and they're very sincere, they will attract all sorts of teachers in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell me a story about did you attract a certain teacher, like you had a desire to learn a certain subject, and like that a teacher kind of came into your life?
In regard to mediumship?
Yeah.
So, of course, my parents.
Yes.
I attracted them. I do feel that as children we choose our parents for the lessons associated with them.
Is that destiny?
What to do or what not to do. I think it's a combination of destiny but free will as well.
Okay.
It's a combination of all of those things
okay.
of what we can learn from one another. But then also, you know, Judith Rochester and Patricia Price, you know, I felt very much that I was drawn to them in particular,
right.
And so studied with them quite extensively
right.
in my own mediumship
right.
journey. And so those are ones that I resonated the most. I, of course, took a lot of other classes and still do with other teachers,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and it helps to firm up for me how I want to work.
That's right.
And that's important. How about you? What? How did
oh,
that
I
work for you?
I got a really interesting story about
okay.
that. Many years ago, I learned how to meditate, and I was kind of reading a little book called The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda.
Uh-huh.
And I had a Hindu friend, and the Hindu friend said, John, you really seem to be interested in Indian things like that. Why don't you take a yoga course? I said, well, okay. So I went to the next room, like being a spiritualist, you know, I believe in we have these different guides and helpers, and said, okay, God, if you would like me to take a yoga course, find me the best possible teacher. And then I saw this little chubby man sitting in a cushion in my mind. So 2 weeks later in Montreal, Canada, they were celebrating Hare Krishna's birthday. And this bus pulls up. This little chubby man gets off the bus, sits in front of me with all his students, and his name is Swami Vishnu, which is a student of Swami Sivananda from Rishikesh, India. And that's who I studied with.
Ooh.
So I do believe one of the natural laws, if you ask and you're sincere, especially if it has to do with a subject that has to do with developing your skills, because the angels believe that you're a good investment. If you want to develop your spiritual skills, you're a good investment because you will turn around and help a lot of other people.
Absolutely.
Okay? So, yes, so you can ask for different teachers to come into your life. And I always say this in a humorous way. Oh, don't worry. If you're not sincere, it won't happen. Because some people ask and they're not really sincere.
They're not, no,
they
also put out thoughts that cancel.
Yeah.
So their doubts and their fears, and that's where they're putting their investment of energy.
That's right.
Instead of moving forward in with that divine right,
that's right.
order with things.
That's
so
right.
we can interrupt God's flow.
That's right.
With our own issues, our own anxieties about things.
Now, what about spirit guides?
Yeah, spirit guides. You know, I do feel that they play a role.
Okay.
Absolutely, in our development. But I like to have teachers, but I also feel my soul is my greatest teacher.
That's right. That's
and
right.
that development, if you're developing as a medium, you certainly need to develop your relationship with your own soul.
That's right.
So that you have a real strong basis of your connection with divine, because if you can tap into the understanding of an awareness of the source at
mm-hmm.
any moment, it will relieve so many things and make way for so many things in your life, but also in your mediumship.
That's right.
And so I do feel that even when I'm working with clients, that they start to recognize even more so that they are a soul.
Of course.
And
of course.
That it becomes not about trying to ask the external people whether they are on the correct path, but that internal soul self.
Yeah, there's a knowing inside you.
Yes.
There's a passion
yes.
inside you.
And you, I know you agree wholeheartedly with that.
Now, what is the difference between some spirituals believe that, like, we have a spirit that lives inside the soul lives inside the body, okay? So what is the difference between the higher mind and the soul, or is this semantics, or is it the same? It's the same
I think
thing.
That there can be parts of the soul.
Okay.
Would you agree
okay.
that there are
of
parts
course. For sure.
of the soul, and that we can many times choose what part of the soul we're working from?
Okay.
And
yeah.
energetically,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
when people talk about the higher self or the lower self, and
okay.
you know, there are semantics. I mean,
yeah.
psychology
yeah.
tries
yeah.
to attach
yeah.
their own understandings of that, but they, of
mm-hmm.
course, associate with the mind.
That's right. Like,
you know,
it's all mind.
It's the way they're able to perceive
That's
in
right.
their scientific realm how things work. But
mm-hmm.
it, you know, with what I say with the spiritualism, are it's a spiritual science. It's a spiritual philosophy. It's a
yeah.
spiritual religion.
That's right.
It's so the while we do appreciate what science brings to the table, I feel science is just trying to catch up with what we in
it's
the spiritual
true.
Sciences understand.
I think the and I don't really know too much about the subject of quantum physics.
It's fascinating.
But quantum here's an interpretation of quantum physics.
Yes.
The ability to measure the quantum physics is the ability to measure energy behind physical matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is through quantum physics that we are beginning to understand the map of the universe and how it all works.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever really know, because that's the
mystery. The great mystery.
Yeah.
The Cherokee called it the great mystery, and I think that has to be there, because there's always something more to learn and grow and be. And if we ever hit the utmost peak, we'd be like, well, now what?
There's always
something more.
I don't know the exact person's name, but several years ago, I was in the 20s, this psychologist said, I think we've discovered most things that we need to discover. Boy, was he wrong.
What a limited thought.
Yes.
That's, oh dear.
Yes.
Obviously he's hit his pinnacle. And make him, I should say, plateau until he realizes that it's time to climb some more.
As
humans, I think in our minds, we tend to think in linear concepts. So, heaven up, and hell down, that consciousness of the linear and the climbing. And we use those as analogies in our journey in life.
Mm-hmm.
If we have mountains, if we have molehills.
That's right. Well, thank God for, the rational brain. But it is through, Einstein would imagine things.
Yes.
He would go off on a light, and then he would mathematically figure it out.
Try to map it out,
Now, here's the secret. He wasn't very good with math.
No.
I think his wife did most of the math for him, by the way. But
have heard such a thing, yes.
Yes. We're not spreading
the
rumors.
But sometimes, there's collaborative effort between
spouses,
and that
That's
can
right.
certainly happen.
So the intuitive mind and the rational brain is they're very good partners in life.
The theosophist, Leadbeater,
isn't
that, and Annie Besant, and Leadbeater in quantum physics, he was able to go into meditation and go into the subatomic particles.
Okay.
And he was able to map out, the periodic table of elements.
Okay.
He was able to explain what they looked like, and then science backed it
figured
up
it out.
Later on.
That's right.
So, there are things that beyond heaven and earth,
right.
that we don't always understand in the moment, but we catch up to later
and
on.
And, the yogis have been doing that for thousands of years.
Absolutely.
They've been doing it for thousands of years.
Now, in terms of the development of mediumship, I do feel, like you said, the law of attraction, the law of resonance, those are very strong, and having to take personal responsibility for our own mediumship path is very crucial. What are some other ones that you feel that are really important for the development of mediumship for people to know out there?
Well, discipline.
Discipline,
okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Self-mastery.
I've heard, this yogi told me that one of the secrets of the yogis is it has to do with residence. It has to do with timing. For instance, a yogi knows that, for instance, when you get up in the morning between this and this time, around 4:30 in the morning, between 4:30 and 6:30, the energy in the atmosphere is very clear. So if you meditate at that time, you're probably going to go a lot deeper than what you do if you meditate at night. And it really has to do with frequency. For instance, how the moon, the moon affects the waters, the emotions. And so by understanding how it all works, you can really begin to understand how your own mind works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another natural law. It's the law of rhythm. For instance, if you meditate, it takes about 20 minutes to produce alpha brain waves if you meditate, 15 to 20 minutes to change your brain waves. It takes about 20 minutes to make endorphins if you're exercising. It takes about 20 minutes to
anapana.
Anapana, basically, and alternate breathing to connect left and right brain. So everything works with patterns. So, that's all has to do with natural law. So the yogis have learned how to work with those different natural laws.
Sure.
Yeah, just like a scientist in a way. So, yeah, they are like spiritual scientists.
Absolutely.
Spiritual scientists.
And it's something that is not necessarily quantitative.
Okay.
as much as they can measure 20 minutes or whatever,
okay.
I think that this is something that would be more of an average. Some people go faster than others, depending on their level of practice. When you mind, body, spirit align for a particular purpose,
That's right.
Can get into that faster and faster, which
That's
is why I do recommend that people find a mediumship development circle or create one, so that once a week they are aligning themselves for that purpose.
And that's another natural law. If you join a group of people that are already doing what you want to do, if you put yourself in their environment, then their energy will affect you.
I was reading just this morning about a man who would study something he's an obsessive learner.
Okay.
And so he set himself a bucket list of goals. And so every month he would try to accomplish something,
okay,
like how to solve a Rubik's Cube super fast. And he was able to do it in 17 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, one of the things that was really cool on his bucket list is that he wanted to go up against a grand chess master.
Okay.
And so he thought, oh, I'll just do it through the program. He actually did go up against the guy.
Wow.
Yes. It was like, holy moly. He taught himself in that intensity of a month. Like, there are people who are super learners.
Okay.
And I do feel that we can all access that super learner within ourselves. And so when people say, well, why? I want to learn all this and I want to learn it now. Some people are better able to learn things quickly, adapt quickly to a methodology of learning.
Right. Yeah.
And it's about being a sponge to it. So with me in mediumship, I read everything, I get my hands on, I attended any class I could.
That's right.
You know, there has to be an immersion if you want to go more quickly with
Definitely.
Things. Then, you know, if you want to kind of go as you can because of other life things.
That's right.
So I thought I'd mention that for people who really want to be a super learner, then it would be something you'd have to be in immersion. It's like an absolute purpose.
There was a little book called Super Learning.
Oh, cool. No, I haven't read that, but
well,
I should look at it.
Two Canadian girls, many, many years ago, they wrote a book called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain.
Mm.
Now, this is when the Cold War was still going on.
Yeah.
And the Russians were pouring a lot of money into what is known as remote fueling and super learning.
Yeah.
Where they
neat.
Would take a person and put them in a controlled environment, and they would learn a language in a month. Okay.
Ooh.
And they used meditation, music, breathing exercises, and all those things combined together.
I need
together,
to read this book.
Combined together, and they would learn many, many different, different things.
Yes.
And the other side of the story is, there's no such thing as a learning disability. There's only an inability to be taught the way that you learn.
Mm.
Okay. And I believe one of the reasons why I got so much involved in meditation, all those things, this may be controversial, but when I was in school, I believe I was what is known as a right brain learner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was bored. Okay?
Yeah.
But as soon as I got into school, after I got the playing the rock and roll music out of my system,
I
learned how to meditate. And as soon as I learned how to meditate, I basically realized how I learned.
Mm.
And I was so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So hungry. And so, again, I studied with people literally from around the world. I didn't make it happen. It kind of happened because of the sincerity. And in NLP, it's called mind mapping, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
That's
right. Oh, there's the fire whistle. We'll just send love and light to those in need.
Is that
it's just a fire whistle to go help someone.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm really close to the Lilydale Fire Hall, so if you hear that in the background, that's why.
Erickson, I think they studied Erickson. He was the one who did they copied for NLP.
Yeah.
So he'd be able to talk to a person, and before he knew it, he could put them into a trance. Okay.
Mm.
And so he said, well, how does this guy do this?
Mesmerism.
Yes. So they moved in with him. They read what he read. They ate what he ate. They actually copied him. They mind mapped him. And then by doing that, basically, they realize that they can do the same thing. Okay. So what? Even here at Lilydale, when you are aware of the new people who are developing their mediumship, sometimes you can actually tell who they're studying with because they mind map their teachers.
This
right?
is true.
Just like a musician or a writer.
Sure.
But sooner or later, you know, we all develop.
You have your favorite composer.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah.
and you become inspired by them, okay? So there's, yeah, super learning. It's amazing. And it was based on meditation,
yeah.
Breathing exercises, a lot of things, and yoga, and also music.
Yes, yes.
Music, hemi-sync music.
Yeah.
That's right.
That can really get you going and bring out those natural proclivities. I do feel that we have people who are natural mediums.
That's right.
But then we also have people who, with practice and real true sincere effort. I feel that when it comes to the study of mediumship, it's about right practice and right intention.
Oh, yeah.
Two ingredients necessary.
Oh, right intention, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with all of that. And
yeah.
I think that goes in accordance with spiritual natural law, most
yeah.
definitely.
And, again, if you're not sincere, don't worry, it won't happen.
Don't worry, it won't happen. I do know we have got some callers, and
okay.
I know our time is going so fast. It,
okay.
it has a way of flying by. But I want to say we have some callers. If anybody does want to call in, the call-in number is 818-739-8818. We are not doing readings. We're focused on the topic spiritual natural law in the development of mediumship. So if you have any questions or positive comments about those things, you can call in. And again, the call-in number is 818-739-8818. And I see we have a caller ending in 3523. I'm going to take caller ending in 3523. Hello, and welcome to the show. Hello? Can you hear us?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
It's like a commercial. Well, I'm not getting a response from
hello?
You. So.
Good.
Let's see. Hello? Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Nathaniel from California.
Wonderful. And have you been having a chance to listen to us talk today about spiritual natural law?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Did you have a question or a comment about using spiritual natural law in the development of mediumship?
No, I'm just kind of just called to listen in and see if I could, you know, maybe get a reading or something.
Well, we're not doing reading.
Okay.
The focus is on our topic today. But I'm glad that you're tuning in and that you continue to learn.
Oh, well, I know a lot, Lee, so, you know, go ahead.
Good.
I've been studying, you know, many years, so
oh, wonderful.
Thanks a lot, so I'll just keep on listening.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nathaniel.
Okay.
Okay. So people tune in from all over the country and all over the world
mm-hmm.
to learn, and I think that's one
they
of the
do.
Reasons that we have these shows.
I believe this is aired in Australia also.
Yeah, and we get Australia folks.
And
in
England?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all over North America. This is really
anybody
amazing.
Who understands English.
Anybody who understands English, even with a funny accent.
There you go.
That's right.
So what are some other spiritual natural laws
well,
that we can share
with
them
today? Well, one of the natural
laws
is like attracts like.
Yes.
So, for instance, since I'm very much interested in Buddhism and meditation, obviously I have a spirit guide who is a Buddhist who comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since I'm interested in spiritual education, I have what is known as spiritualism is called a doctor teacher who's interested in that science.
Yes, yes.
But not only that. I have a very good friend who passed on. His name is John Rosner, and he was the head of the religion department in Concordia University in Montreal, and he was a genius with religions and philosophy. And I realized that sometimes when I go to speak in the auditorium, you know, one of my hobbies is I like to memorize poetry, like Rumi and,
yes.
and things yes. like that. I noticed that when he's around, when I'm giving a talk, my mind is clearer than normal.
Mm.
So like attracts like. So whatever your interests are in your mediumship and the type of mediumship you will be doing, you will attract those type of teachers.
Absolutely.
And guides.
I agree with that.
And not only that, there is another natural law that says that there will be family members on the other side of life. Let's say if you want to become a writer,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you have that passion inside of you, and you had a family member who was very much into that, you know, your favorite grandmother or grandfather.
Sure.
They will come around you and they will inspire you to do that writing. Now, this is not known by a lot of people, but in the Mormon Church, okay,
mm-hmm.
and actually the Mormon Church got started not too far from here, right?
A lot of things did, yes.
That's right.
We're a hotbed.
We're a hotbed. it was called the Burnt Over Area. That means that mm-hmm. all the religions came through here. But in the Mormon Church, and they also have their prophets and mystics, by the way, and what happens is that they believe that they are doing things to help their ancestors.
Mm.
Okay? And that's why they're so much interested in genealogy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so, again, here we have this thread of mediumship through, you could say, the Mormon Church and all the churches, but it's called a different name. But in
sure.
spiritualism, we tell it like it is. We tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now another form of mediumship is in Brazil is Spiritism.
Spiritism, yeah.
And
we had the Spiritist this past summer.
And I went to visit John of God.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Okay.
John went to see John.
John went to see John. Okay. he's been amazing. And he's in Brazil, they call it Spiritism.
Yes.
Okay. And he has different spirit guides and doctors that come through and to work with him. You know, it is said that one time in America, one in every 10th person was considered a spiritualist.
Yes.
Okay.
I have heard this.
Yes. Okay. And what happened is, and people say, well, what happened to it? Well, it the natural law is grow and expand. So, new thoughts, which basically started science of mind, Christian science. All Louise Hay's workings are from that.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes from spiritualism. Okay?
A new thought.
And mm-hmm. the whole New Age thing, so-called New Age, is an extension of spiritualism. Okay? And so it's all about communicating with spirits on the other side of life. But here at Lilydale, we have become a very large educational place, and I love that.
Yes.
I love that. You know, I remember many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, The only way you got to learn how to do this, if you knew someone personally and you got invited into their homes. Like, there wasn't really
right.
a lot
of
education.
It was a closed circle.
Yeah.
That people would
and
run.
And what happens when things are too closed? Basically, it starts to
shrink,
okay?
But I understand why some of them did that, because there's a harmonious energy that they wanted to establish, because they were working on a certain form of mediumship.
That's right.
So that was one of the reasons why they were closed circles.
There's physical mediumship and mental mediumship.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Exactly.
But what happened now is that it's very open.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk a little bit about mental mediumship and physical mediumship. Just
yes,
a little
we
bit,
will briefly. I see that somebody wants the number for the
okay.
call-in real quickly.
Okay.
So it's 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And we just have a little time left, so just alerting it. If you do want to call in, you should do so soon. But go ahead.
I studied at another spiritualist camp, Chesterfield, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
for 7 years. And I took care of the art gallery and museum,
mm-hmm.
and I had to explain the physical phenomena and mental phenomena in mediumship.
Yeah.
Now, we don't really have a lot of physical phenomena anymore, because to tell the truth, a lot of the magicians started copying the mediums, and so we can no longer trust what was real and unreal.
Yeah.
But I am telling you right now, I have seen the real thing. There is real materialization. There is real independent voice. There's real physical phenomena, okay?
Yeah.
And an example in the Bible was Jesus goes on the mountain, and Elijah and Moses materialize
mm-hmm.
around him.
Mm-hmm.
And this beautiful white cloud comes over Jesus. That is called ectoplasm, which is etherealized protoplasm.
Mm-hmm.
And this voice comes out of the cloud and says, "This is my son." That's independent voice. Okay,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So obviously Jesus was a medium.
Mm. Absolutely, and master teacher.
A master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But so, in order to develop physical mediumship, it takes a long time.
It does, and that's
okay.
one of the reasons why there were the closed
that's
circles.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But I do believe that it is important that we're very much part of an educational place here in Lilydale, and that we're really teaching people how to become intuitively very literate. It's
yes.
really become a very center centered part of, you know, we're known from all around the world.
We sure are. We are.
That's right.
Well, we're the world's largest center for it. So
for spiritualism.
Absolutely. I want to take our caller ending in 4154. Again, 4154. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Reverend
Hello.
White.
Hi, what's your name?
Here's my... my name is Wendy, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Wonderful.
My question is, I don't know if this is a natural law, but it seems like a lot of people are opening up now, and I wonder, is there some kind of, like, law of contagion, or, you know, how does that consciousness and awakening spread, or is
yes.
it just... Does it just seem like that?
Yes, that people are becoming more open to spiritual development.
I believe so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's part of the law of attraction, but I do feel that there is a mass consciousness that starts
yes.
to occur.
That's right. You know, when the world was smaller, you know, we were affected by race consciousness. So all the religions were created by the race that you lived in, okay?
Yes.
But now race consciousness is global.
Right, it's human race.
Yes, it's human race.
Consciousness.
It's human race consciousness.
You know,
yeah.
We are a human race.
That's right. So we're very happy that basically you have that insight, because we both agree with you that that's true.
Well, I'm trying to think what law that would be under. I would think... The law of attraction, certainly.
Yeah.
And
group consciousness.
Group consciousness of this.
Yeah.
But that's what it would fall under,
mm-hmm.
Wendy. And that
right,
is just
right.
a natural ascension
right.
within people, that when you're around somebody that has that spiritual intention, that you have the option of vibrating at that particular frequency if you so desire.
That's
you know,
right.
when you look at the old paintings, like the Renaissance
and
things like that, with the,
right,
with the
right.
aura, crown chakra that's developed in people, there's a radiance that can come over a person when they have
that's
a
right.
spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful for other people when they're in their presence. It's one of the reasons why when people... think of Jesus, you know, the Christ consciousness
mm-hmm.
can really change them energetically or vibrationally, or when people pray with Mother Mary,
that's right.
you know, and
that's right.
and they have different
right.
People
right.
in Buddhism,
mm-hmm.
when people have their picture of the Dalai Lama,
yeah,
you know, things like
well,
that.
Well, you know, there's a
focal point.
Having taken Reverend White's classes, I noticed that when you get a whole room full of people and people start doing things that they never thought that they could do, you know, with their abilities. And I think some of it has to do with Reverend White's just expectation that this is absolutely possible and that people just can sit down and do it. And then people are so shocked when it happens. And then the
That's
whole
perfect.
Room starts to have that experience. So it seems like, you know, you kind of expect that maybe those things will progress in a normal, you know, kind of plodding along kind of way. But it doesn't seem to. It seems to develop much more quickly when there's an environment, an expectation that it can happen and it will happen.
Yes, and that's part of the intention and holding the space for
and that's
a class.
That happens. A lot of mediums say that when they come to Lilydale, it is easier, in a way, to give messages and work in Lilydale in the summertime because of that group.
It's an established energy.
And we have it at the stump.
Yes.
Right.
And fourth temple and other.
Yeah.
The healing temple.
The healing
you know
temple.
You want to go in, and that's the heat purpose of healing.
The healing temple. Right.
And so you start to vibrate for that particular purpose.
Right.
We
well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Wendy.
We experience that in Children's Week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we have children, 5 years old, looking at a person, and you say, well, I want you to tell us what their energy looks like, and they actually do it because nobody told them they couldn't do it.
Right.
And they have that group.
So people have to usually overcome some aspect of ego or are a place within them, the left brain, the rational mind, the
That's
thinking
right.
mind that tells them that they can't do something.
That's right.
And I've had this occur when I'm with clients. You know, they haven't ever sensed spirit before, and all of a sudden they're sensing spirit in the room with them during the reading. And it's because we have created that sacred space, an intention
space.
Together.
That's right.
And they're vibrating in that frequency, and they start to become aware of spirit because of this.
Yeah. Remember, like, when two or three people are gathered together in the name of the higher self or the
yes.
sacred self, you know, the phenomena happens.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And I know our time is coming to an end. Is there, should we share with them where they can get some of the natural laws?
Yes, actually.
Yes.
So
there's a website that you found.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Or on website.
If you type in 105... you know, natural laws, you'll get a page that's called powerfulintentions.org, and they have 105 laws of the universe. They're really interesting to read
yes.
through,
yes.
and that's something that you can access online. There, as far as I know, there isn't a book that would list 105.
I don't think it's been published yet.
I don't think that that's something
okay.
that has
actually,
come out.
Actually, those 105 natural laws, they're not really sure who wrote them.
Yes. So you
okay.
have to kind of pass them through your own soul, and some of them would actually be subcategories.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are subcategories.
Sub-laws of,
yeah.
of main laws. So
yeah.
that's something to keep
yeah.
in mind as well.
Yeah.
And I know when I learned about natural law, that was through my mediumship
okay.
development circles
yeah.
that I did a lot of that. And then further research that I would kind of find in an old book, like a chapter here
yeah.
and there. But there wasn't an established spiritual natural law book. I mean, The Secret kind of goes there a little bit. You know, other writers kind of go there.
Right.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Okay.
You know, there are people who talk about it. Deepak Chopra has this.
Yeah.
The seven spiritual laws.
Prosperity.
Yes, of
yes.
success and
success.
Things like that.
That's
but
right.
those are kind of just touching on it. But I thought this was interesting, this listing that John found.
Yeah, it is. The three main ones, they say, it's all mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is actually correspondence, that we can communicate with different parts of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're all part of the same mind. And then the next one is frequency.
Yes.
We build up a frequency. And here at Lilydale in the CN, in the summertime, there's this beautiful frequency. That, and some people walk through the gates and say, wow, I just feel like I've come home. I just
yes.
feel like there's
spiritual
something
home.
Special.
Yeah.
yeah.
The peace that's here, that because of the purpose that has been here for so long, it's an established energy, most definitely. And you can have that in other locations, but Lilydale has its
yeah.
own
yeah.
special energy that's associated
that's right.
with that. So we're really grateful.
Oh, we are.
We are very, very grateful. And I'm so happy that you could come on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much for allowing me to come and share this this knowledge that, you know, it's because of people at Lilydale throughout the years who have studied. They used to sit in those dark rooms and by themselves, and they studied their mind.
Yeah.
It's because of them that we are actually here. So we want to acknowledge all
we
the
We rest
ancestors.
On their shoulders, for sure.
We rest on their shoulders.
And the assembly hall here in Lilydale, where the Church of the Living Spirit is during the off-season, has these beautiful photos. Portraits
yes.
of past mediums and people who have been so instrumental in the development of spiritualism. And, you know, they really had to go through trials by fire in some cases to do what they did and to make what we have here today.
That's
so
right.
we give them a lot of credit.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I can feel them connecting at different points. And as John was mentioning before, with spirit guides and spirit loved ones that assist in particular spiritual development, I have noticed sometimes in readings, people will come through that are assisting a person. Let's say they are a scientist.
Yeah.
A biggie scientist will
yeah.
be helping them in their particular
yeah.
field, or an author will help them. That they didn't know, but they have always felt an extremely important connection with that particular person. So they do take interest in people that of like mind and like intention, and that's certainly part of spiritual natural
law. It certainly is.
Yeah.
And let's not forget the family who helps us.
Yeah.
Ever since my father passed on, if you come to me for a reading, if your father is around in spirit, my father is going to find them.
He'll hunt them down.
He'll hunt them down.
Okay. And help to bring them in.
Yeah. So yeah. That's why also different mediums have different resonance and different skills. Like you may go to one medium and they'll talk about your guides and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You go to another medium and you'll talk about your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go to another medium and they may talk about healing. So mediums are all individuals also. We all
Very
have
much
our
so.
Natural individual skills.
I often say that when it comes to mediumship, it's kind of like making coffee.
Okay.
We all have our own filter.
That's right.
And so it kind of produces a particular kind of coffee.
That's right. Actually, after this show, I'm on my way to Tim Hortons.
Oh, there you go. There
the
you go.
The good news is they're going to open up.
That's right. Real close
Casadega.
To Lilydale. So
yeah.
That's coming soon to this located to this area for
yeah.
people who want their Tim Hortons.
Yeah. But as you're saying, just like coffee, everybody's an individual.
Yeah.
Okay. And the natural law is like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
You will attract people in your life, in relationships,
mm-hmm.
In career decisions, and also in your development.
Yeah, law of action, law of karma. There's so many ones that tap into what we do in our lives and in our mediumship.
That's right.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, John, for
welcome.
Being on the show today.
Thank you for asking me.
Yes, yes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today and sharing your comments. If you've really enjoyed the show, please let us know, and you can like and share and follow on Willow White Medium. And I'll look forward to sharing with you next week. I've got Mavis Patilla as my guest
next week. Neat.
And the topic is Between Two Worlds. And Mavis Patilla is a spiritual teacher who is really a beautiful soul from the United Kingdom. So I'm glad that she was able to join me. So that'll be for the November 21st show. November 28th is Barbara Sanson. So that'll be the heart of spiritual healing. And then December, I want to say the 5th, if I have that right, will be Judith Rochester. We'll be talking about dreams. And so there'll be a lot of great shows to come. Tune in Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Tune in on John White's show at 8 p.m. Same day Wednesday. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Be well and God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.